Right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to your morning devotion for this Monday of Holy Week. We are going to be in Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 8. A couple quick comments here about the morning devotion schedule. We'll go today. Pastor Matt will close up Ecclesiastes on Wednesday. And then we're going to take next week off, so you won't have any morning devotions next week. We're going to take a little little mental reprieve here post Holy Week. So hope you guys are okay with that. But we also want to let you know we will start up again the following week, and we're going to get into the book of Romans. I'm really looking forward to that one. That should be a lot of fun. A couple quick things to keep in mind as we go into Holy Week. You got services a lot this week. So Thursday and Friday, we have services at 11 a.m. in Escondido. Then at 7 p.m., we have services at Escondido and San Marcos on Thursday and Friday. Then on Saturday, we have a service at 7 o'clock only in San Marcos for the new sort of Easter vigil. That should be a lot of fun. And then finally, on Easter, we have our normal service time. So make sure you're inviting friends. You're joining us. A lot of great stuff. We had a great weekend this last weekend. The cantata was mind-blowing in Escondido. So beautiful. Rachel's did a marvelous job with the Easter egg hunt. Had a bunch of kids out there getting tons of candy. Pretty cool. It was pretty great. So really good stuff there. Also keep in mind, no Bible studies midweek this week or next week. Okay. And then finally, foundations class starting up April 7th. So a lot of stuff going on. You can see all of this and more at the e-news and all the stuff we have going on at church. Let me get a sip of tea here. Get my voice better. All right, let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, thanks for this morning and this opportunity to study your word. Lord, as we deal with heavy topics today, we do give you thanks that we deal with heavy topics because we have a Savior who overcomes these things for us and gives us great hope. And that's what we look forward to this week as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the dying and the rising of Jesus, all for us in our salvation. Keep him ever in our mind in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as I said, we're coming to the end of Ecclesiastes, and as Maria mentioned last week in her devotion, which, by the way, if you haven't watched that one, go back and watch that one. Just outstanding how she got to the gospel so clearly from that text. Just, I'll never know. So good. But this is not exactly a chipper portion of the text here. She points this out, that this was, it gets a little bleak here towards the end of her chapter, and certainly here. This closing section is sort of us coming to the end of life. Basically, if you think of Ecclesiastes, we've been working through all the different aspects of life, all the vain pursuits, all the ways we should view our life under the sun. And we can think of that under the sun language negatively, but also you can just think of it this way. Life in the world, this is how your life works. And if you don't have wisdom, if you don't have faith, if you don't have God, there's a lot of vanity in all of this. But also, there's good when you do see things from God's perspective, that it's good for you to eat, drink, and be merry, to pursue hard work and to love your neighbor and to fulfill the vocation God has for you in that moment and at that day. All right? But now today, we're going to talk about dying, that life does come to an end. It's inevitable. What a beautiful way to go in to Holy Week. But there is an inevitability to this. We will die. And if we want to deny that, as we work so hard to do in our culture, that we can sort of push off death or somehow avoid death. I know you hear all these nonsensical things that could actually happen with technology, where they're going to sort of keep people's brains and upload their brains and their thought patterns into computers, and so those people can kind of live on forever. All right, if you want to call that living, fine. It's not. It's a disembodied existence. It's not life as God has created it. And so today we talk about life, death, and the inevitability of this, and how to go towards your grave faithfully and wisely. All right. Let's get into it and see what he does here. All right. So chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, that is the key to the text. Remember your Creator. And then we're going to go through a whole litany of things we need to remember the Creator before they happen. Start early. meditating on God, knowing who He is, seeing the work He's done for you, recognizing the life He's laid out for you, pursuing wisdom in this life. All right, remember this Creator before these inevitable things happen. The evil days come and the years draw near, which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. It's going to happen. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. Here he's talking about the inevitability of the seasons for sure, but I think he's alluding to sort of the end of the day, poetic way of talking about death. Before, in the day, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed. Now, what he's doing here is really beautiful poetically. He's talking about sort of your body failing, and a beautiful way of talking about this. But just like as you get older, things don't work the way they used to work. The keepers of the house, your mental capacity lessens. The strong men are bent. Your physical body becomes weaker. The grinders cease because they are few. Your teeth fall out. Those who look through the windows are dimmed. Your eyes become darker. Your vision goes, and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up, the sound of the bird and the daughters of the songs are brought low. Doors of the street, probably talking about your ears. Now, your ears don't work quite as well. You don't hear the sounds around you like you used to do. They are afraid of what is high, and the terrors are in the way, and the tree. An almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about in the streets. So there that verse. I'm not quite sure what to do with the height and the terror and all of this, but the almond trees blossom. It's a reference to a tree that blossoms quickly, but then the almond tree also loses its leaves. Before the others, the grasshopper is this image of youth and vigor, but now it's dragging itself along, and desire fails. That vigor, that zeal for life, that passion that you have in youth, it just kind of goes away, right? And things just become you just move closer and closer, slowly towards the grave, and it's inevitable. Verse 6. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. In other words, until it inevitably happens. Once the cord is snapped, you can't put it back together. When the bowl is broken, you can't seal it up. When the pitcher is shattered, it's shattered. You can't glue it back together. When the wheel is broken at the cistern, you can't draw water out anymore. What does this all mean? It's inevitability of death. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God. Returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. And that picture of from dust we come, unto dust we shall return, comes right out of Genesis there. And we know that as we die, our body goes to the ground and our spirit goes to rest with the Lord, whatever it's doing there. It's kind of hard to say. There's a lot of conversation about it, but it's kind of beyond the purview of this text. What this text is really saying is, teach us to number our days. It's inevitable that we're going to die. You cannot avoid this. And so, live your life with wisdom. Remember your Creator. Remember, and I love how it speaks of God here, first and foremost, as the Creator. Remember that you have and had a purpose in your life. God worked through you. And whatever you had to find to do that day, you did it. And you should keep doing it. Were there vain pursuits? Yes. Repent of those. And know that you are forgiven on account of Christ. But that's what I want to get here to. He says, remember your Creator. And first, remember this, that since He's the Creator, He's the one in charge, He's the one who numbers your days. So do the work He has given you to do that day, praying for daily bread, loving your neighbor, trusting that He's got it handled. You can't control the day of your death. That is all in the hands of God. He's the one who gives. He's the one who takes away. He gives life. He takes life. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? This is just the reality of it. That's the first thing. But you also have to remember this, that your Creator, who controls death, also hates it. He didn't design it. So he's decided to undo it. It's not part of what he worked into the creation. It's an unwelcome guest that he controls, but also that one day he's going to put down. And that's what we need to think about as we go into Holy Week. If we want to talk about the inevitability of things, we think of the inevitability of death in our lives. But we also have these wonderful words from the Lord Jesus. And we talked about this if you were in Bible study yesterday. When you're in the Gospel of Mark, you're going to notice this refrain that things happened just as Jesus said, that it was necessary for him to go to suffer and die on the cross. It was necessary. It was inevitable that he was going to go and die on the cross. But it's also, therefore, inevitable that he's going to rise from the grave. I don't want to spoil Easter Sunday for you here, but the surprise of the story is that Jesus comes back. He's alive. He conquers death. And though death is inevitable, it's also not eternal because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that he is the first fruits of the resurrection. He's the first one to walk out of the grave. And the first fruits mean the rest of us are going to follow. So we have this wonderful image here that, yes, we go and we number our days and we recognize that death will come. And so we pursue the vocation God has for us at hand. But we also know that our death is not the end of the story, that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And so we have great hope beyond the grave. So you can face your grave with confidence, which means you can face your life with confidence, because whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. And that is the good news we have here today. So let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, through your dear Son Jesus, that you've kept us tonight from all harm and danger. And we pray you would keep us today from sin and all evil, so all our doings in life are pleasing to you. Into your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies, our souls, and all things. Let your holy angels be with us, so the evil foe has no power over us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, guys.